Oh, yes.
Here it is. The season finale continues as this is part two of the three-part series, The World's Tournament at Greenfield Village, a retrospective look at the reincarnation of the most important vintage baseball tournament in the Midwest. So we see it. We're going to pick up where we left off from part one. We're going to go ahead and start. We're covering years 2010 to 2014 in this episode. And we're going to go ahead and start with Jeff Cougar Kozlowski of the Greenfield Village La-Di-Das telling us how 2010 went for Greenfield Village.
We were kind of just hanging on. You know, the captain who had led us to our two championships was on a different team, and a few of our key players were on a different team. And so there's definitely some people that were being moved around. I don't have a whole lot of memory of the games leading up. I definitely remember the championship game, because that was one of the first, maybe the only times where I actually felt like we're not going to win today, boys. We're just not. I went into 2010 and looking at the way Columbus played on Saturday, and I went, this is the Capitals tournament to win. It just is. They got on us early in the championship game. We played just good enough to not be embarrassed. And I remember I was leading off an inning, smashed one to the either left field or left center field. And I was like, double, maybe even a triple. And I round first, and Charlie in the trees just bang, and right got me in the hamstring. And I went down hard, military crawled back to first base. And at that point I was like, This ain't gonna go well. I was so heartbroken. I was so upset. And I remember my wife kind of leaned over and was like, "Guys need to see you up and moving." And I was like, "Did you see what happened to my leg?" She's like, "No. I mean, like, they don't want to see you sullen. They don't want to see you with your head down. You need to get up, and you need to be, you know, doing anything that you can." So I don't know if anybody has ever done the thing where, like, you have a blown out leg and you get the courtesy runner and you take a swing and you hit the ball and your first instinct is to run, and then you have to tell yourself to stop because somebody is running for you. That was the first time I ever had that, and I was so crushed that I had to take a runner for that. But yeah, it wasn't pleasant for us, but I was like, you know, this is the Capitals tournament to win here.
See, that happened. Things like that happen to people that have muscles in their legs. So I have no idea what that's like. I don't pull any muscles, cause I don't have any. So it's not a big, that's why, like, muscles and all that working out, Mike, it's really overrated. So you should probably just stop.
Pulling a hamstring is a rush, man.
We've had guys who actually hurt themselves warming up beforehand. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you bothering to stretch? You just messed up your back stretching. That's just a mistake.
So Cap, Bay City's run through 2010, what do you get?
Oh, you know, I don't remember who we lost to first, but it was a short weekend. We ended up winning, I think we beat like a Detroit baseball club, I think, and then we ended up having to play Saginaw, like, you know, back to back. Like, we beat the Detroit baseball club, then we lost a game. I don't remember who we lost to, which is weird. And then we ended up having to play Saginaw, like, back to back. So we played Saginaw on Walnut Grove 2, and they beat us that day. And I think they went on. Did you guys go on to, like, the reserve championship in 2010 to, like, play in that?
I'm just trying to rack my brain. I don't know if we – I think we may have lost twice. Maybe we didn't.
I think you guys went on to do reserve championship 2010 against the Indianapolis Blues.
The Blues?
Yeah. We lost to you, and we were done on day one. And that's, like, the first time that happened. And it was like,
yeah,
you know, like, damn. But then we went back to the hotel and partied. So it was, you know, whatever.
So, Squint, obviously not a lot of memories from 2010. You got anything?
So the only one I remember is we were super fired up because we had just come out, like, here we are. We were the champs. We're going to go in and we're going to make a statement and do it all over again. And we won the first game. And I forget who it was. Well, then we played – I think they were Spiegel something. Isn't there
Spiegel Grove? Spiegel Grove.
Okay, so Spiegel Grove. So just like your brother said, Rudy, they cheated. So this so it was like, it's the second game. we were losing in the first inning like 8-0, and I'm catching and I'm like, they're all using that same bat, right? And I don't care about cheating, like this is not why we lose. But then the second inning comes around, the first like 4 or 5 guys are using the same bat again, and I was like, they're just bombing the ball. I mean, they're burning. At the time, we had Chad Short, we had Sonny. Like, our outfield was good, and they were just mashing the ball. And we were using the same ball, and it was not going nearly as far. So I said something to whoever the umpire was, and I was like, will you just check this bat with your little square thing, please? And sure as shit, that ball, it did not go over the bat at all. Not even close. At that time, our Golds in 2010, we were a little chippier, or some of us were a little chippier, and they were just pissed. So we were losing like 13-0, and we came roaring back, and we still ended up losing like 16-15 or 16-14 or 13 or something like that. So it was one of those things that always stuck with us, like, God damn it, if we would have just said something sooner. But again, it was just a bat. I don't know. But it was just – that was angry. And then
yeah, but they were all using the same bat.
They were all using the same bat. Like, I just looked at it, like,
so it wasn't a mistake. They knew.
You guys know me. Like, I usually pick up the bat. I usually pick up the bat and give it to the next guy until I get angry or until I get like we're losing or something. And then I start throwing it towards the bench. But usually I hand the bat to the next guy. And I was like, hey, it's that bat again. Hey, it's that bat again. Hey, it's that bat again. Weird. So that just drove me nuts. So that was the one I remember out of that whole entire weekend. And then we probably did play the Blues, because I do remember playing the Blues. It must have been that championship game. I couldn't remember where our game was, Jamie. I thought ours game was the championship game in the reserve.
No, we ended up – we played you guys last game on Saturday.
Okay.
And then it was like, well we're done. And well, then I remember talking with you guys afterwards. You ended up going to the reserve championship against Indianapolis. Indianapolis won.
Did they? Okay.
So we lost. What? Are you kidding me? How'd that work? But anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Jimmy, Crazy Leg, talk about Walker's run.
We obviously lost. I am assuming it was a tight 2-1 game.
Yeah.
It probably went extra innings, and we probably lost just at the last second due to time. So
that's how I remember it.
Yeah, I mean, okay. So it's pretty spot on. And then we probably lost the next day to, an incredible Hulk on Forest City at shortstop with his, like, bare legs showing. And then we probably lost again to, like, Wyandotte or Port Huron to get the peanut again.
So the Capitals defeat Walker, and then the Capitals are in the championship against the La-Di-Das. So we'll start with Rudy. What was the Capitals run like through 2010, and what was the championship match?
So, like, I'm sure everyone here has had this experience where everything clicks. Like, everything works out the way you plan it. You have a strategy, and it goes just to plan. And 2010 was that for the Capitals, honestly. Like, our first match was against Walker. The main thing that sticks out for us in 2010 – to my brothers and I, we scored double digit runs in the first inning every game.
So. Not against us.
I meant except against Walker, I meant to say. That was, and so, and then we played Walker back on Hawthorne.
Oh, wow.
And then we played Wyandotte Stars on field one, and everybody was hitting, and it was like, and people didn't stop hitting. And normally the Capital way is we have to score a bunch of runs because we're going to give them back to you later, because we're a generous team like that, guys. We want everybody to be able to participate. So I think on Sunday we got the Detroit Baseball Club, and we were, once we just kept it going. And then we found ourselves in the championship again for the second year in a row. And it was a little different this time because, we were rested. It wasn't 115 degrees, and we were going against a La-Di-Dog club that was, I'm going to tell you, the one thing that stuck out to me in 2010 was Oxbow Aussie. I had never really like registered him. And I was like, man, this guy's a baller. This guy's a player. And then nobody likes to see anybody get hurt. Let me just say that. Cougar, I love you. But when you went down, we were like, our first question was, is he okay? Got honest truth. We were like, is he okay? And then we were like, man, that kind of helps. that guy can, that yes, guy can.
Second thought, like that though.
it wasn't like that. We made sure he got off the field. We took care of him. Yeah. And we were also like, that guy can bang the ball. And, you know, let's hope that, you know, he's okay and it's not permanent damage. So
your first baseman was very nice and helped me back to the base. So that's always my fear, is that I get hurt and then get tagged out while I'm trying to struggle back to the base. But your first baseman was like, no, I don't have it. Come on back, my bad.
Yeah. See, he was raised right.
Mike Feeney, you're there as a fan this year. Do you have any memories from this match watching it?
Yeah, growing up, you know, I was a Capitals fan. You know, Cougar said everybody loves the Lighthouse when they're going there, but that wasn't really the case for me. I was always a fan of the underdog. I don't know, I was a fan of the Capitals, so, like, actually seeing them when it was, like, somewhat significant in my memories as a fan of the World Tournament. So, I mean, I don't remember all the events that led up to it, but I remember that final game itself vaguely, and I do remember the Capitals winning.
Okay, Cougar, do you have anything else you want to add to 2010 before we move on?
Nothing from that. I do just want to echo, for those who have never been to Greenfield Village, to think about the layout when we're talking about how hot it is. Walnut Grove is like a bowl, and Walnut Grove's at the very bottom of the bowl. And so in order for there to be any wind, it's got to be really serious wind. So when we say it's hot, like, there's no wind either to really help you out with that. Like, the wind, for whatever reason, stops in July. So when the guys are talking about the weather and the climate, like, just imagine all the games at the lowest portion with no wind to cool you off at all.
Okay, so going on to 2011, let me know if this is correct. It says the La-Di-Da's defeated Walker. Is that the championship match?
No. So I have regular season there.
Right, that's why I was asking.
The World Tournament used to be kind of the culmination of the summer, and then we had decided that we wanted to move it closer to the actual anniversary of the original World Tournament, so it was second weekend of August. So we would play games after World Tournament started at this point. And when I was going through the company newsletters, which I have to give a shout out to the Benson Ford Research Center for pulling all of these company newsletters for me, in the August 25th edition, we were playing Walker Tavern, and in it, the write-up was that Walker Tavern was advertised as the reserve championship finalist in 2011.
Who was the championship match in 2011?
Bay City, Saginaw.
Bay City and Saginaw. Well, Cougar, let's start with you then. What are your memories of 2011 with the La-Di-Da's?
So I remember we were starting to kind of rethink the rosters. You know, we have so many guys who, you know, we have 20, 30 games before the World Tournament. And to encourage people to come out to the regular season game, we would always say that those who come play the games the most will get first shot at being on the La-Di-Da's, because that's the flagship team for the World Tournament. And so we were trying to find out a way to, like, better balance, you know, those who were doing well during the regular season and getting them onto the teams that they actually wanted. And so my bright idea was, hey, we got like three teams that are full of Greenfield Village guys. Let's do a fantasy draft. Let's take the captains and let's have them draft the players. And then we'll do trades afterwards, and that's how we'll make our teams. Figuring that'll make the volunteers happy, that'll make everybody happy. And what it ended up doing is it ended up watering down the talent. So we had three average teams at Greenfield Village, and not the standout team that we would always have. So my memories of 2011, I don't really have many of them. I could have been a national. I could have been on the Detroit Baseball Club. I just don't remember which year exactly that was.
We're going to skip right past Bay City and Saginaw because they played in the championship, so we'll come back around to them at the end. Let's go to Jim Terwilliger and find out, has Walker finally broken through and won a match?
Well, yeah, but it wasn't the first game. I did have the bracket that I was finding in my records. We faced the Wyandotte Stars. We lost 14-8 or something, but it was a good showing. 8 runs for us. We didn't win many games. This was a year that I took an active role in being a field captain, because I've told the story before, but the gentleman running the team, his way of standing and making a lineup was, however, we were grouped in a huddle giving the pregame speech. And so you try to stand next to him in the third or fourth spot. That, or it was, you know, first baseman batted first, second baseman batted second, third baseman, and then shortstop batted fourth. So I always volunteered to bat, you know, to play short. So we changed things up a little bit for an order. We did finally get a win against the early risers in the reserve bracket, and then moved on and played the Squires. And we did win that game to make it to the reserve class championship, and lost to Forest City. So, and that one was, I think, pretty competitive, 17-13, the bracket shows. So it was good. I mean, we came out of there heads high. Couldn't kind of pointed and laughed at the guys getting the peanuts this year and saying, enjoy them. And
so the rise has begun right here.
Yeah. It was like, wow, that's what winning a game here feels like. And not having to play on Hawthorne Glade, because we lost to the Stars on Hawthorne Glade, had to play the early risers, but then we finally got to play the Squires on Walnut too. So I was like, we're in the big leagues on the Walnut field. So that was good times.
So Rudy, your experience through 2011, it does say here that the Capitals won the Chadwick Sportsmanship Award. What do you remember of 2011?
That was the high point for us.
It was rigged too, wasn't it?
Yeah, technically. Well, because honestly, here's what happened. We had a really good showing on Saturday. We had we were coming in, defending champs. There might have been a team with a chip on their shoulder that when we faced them on Sunday in the semifinals, they took it out on us. Who knows who that team was, but I mean, yeah, so what had happened. I mean, we had a really good showing on Saturday. Guys were feeling good. And then we run into the Old Gulfs on Sunday, and they, once again, I believe the saying is, announced their presence with authority, put it to us, sent us home. It was just one of those, like, I think Squint said, everybody has an inning. I think we had like five of those innings. And you know, that was at a certain point, you're just like, guys, you know, it's out of hand. Let's just, you know, try and save some face here. So yeah, that's what I remember about 2007 being the Chadwick Sportsmanship Award winners.
Coming up to the championship match, Cap, you're playing Saginaw in the finals. Do you remember how many times you guys are facing each other during the regular season at this point?
It's a bunch. I mean, and it wasn't always necessarily on purpose. It's like, you just kind of run it. I mean, you're close, you schedule a couple games, but right, then you end up running into like people in other places too.
Like at different tournaments and stuff, we would see each other.
Yep. In 2011, Matt, were you, you were 2012, I think you joined. 2011 for us was, basically, it was really kind of a turning point, because it was the end of a lot of guys that started from the beginning, continuing on. Like this was like the last time that you had like Doc Garcia show up every year, and he was just amazing. If you ever played against him or you ever saw him play, he was amazing. Trevor David had bowed out in 2010, so our original third baseman wasn't there. But we had it was pretty much the last time you had a lot of the core guys that had kind of started off. It was really their last time, and it was the first time for the Silverback to show up. So 2011 was kind of like a switch in a lot of ways, because after that, you had like new waves of new guys coming in, and some people who had been consistently responsible for who you were and how you played no longer being a consistent part. So 2011 was kind of a big deal.
And how do you remember that championship match?
We got our ass kicked, as I recall. Yeah, I think there were points where it was close-ish, but not really. It was fun. It was a good game. I believe 2011 Might have been the first year that you guys had.
We had Lepic.
Lepic and Ossie as well.
No, Ozzy came the next year.
Okay. So 2011 was the first year with Lepic.
Yeah.
And so there was a changeover with a couple of their guys there. But, I mean, you know, we had known Saginaw. We played them a bunch of different times. And it was one of those deals where, like, hey, we're in this game. We know we're going to – we know who we're facing. You're going to try as hard as you can, and we're going to put our best effort out there. And we kept it close-ish, like I said, for a while. But it was one of those things. I think we lost by, like, 7 or 8.
Maybe. Yeah.
And but
13,
there you go. But there was a couple of innings where it was like close. I think it was the first inning when it was 0-0. And it was
the game was 13-5. It was 13-5, but you're right. It was like it was 0-0, and then we put up 7, and then it was just we tic-tacked a couple runs back and forth. So really that second inning, it was after that second inning, we all kind of held each other just like we always do, like that Bay City, Saginaw, it's always just a couple runs. Like after that, we had that one big inning, and we held you from not having a big inning.
Yep. That was you it. Guys played great defense, though. That's always the hallmark. So
Marbles, if you're still there,
yes.
Is this the year you started missing, or is this the last year of you as a fan?
I think it was the last year I was there. But by this point, it was just like, oh, Saginaw won again. Not a big deal.
Wow.
It felt like it, you know. It's like, just them again. Whatever.
So we're going to move on to 2012 then. And
but actually, I think that's the first year we got one of these, though, because we didn't get one for 2006. So.
Oh, okay.
I keep telling them before they need to send us one for 2006, even though they didn't make them then.
Matt, is this this is just audio that's going, right?
I'm only publishing audio. I'm recording this right now video wise, sure. But that's just as a backup plan just in case something went wrong with the audio off my board. So
I just want to make sure that the pottery shop, the Greenfield Village pottery shop, hand makes all of these trophies. So when we're all up and we have our pitchers and
nice.
And stuff in the background. That's our pottery department is handmade, all of these hand drawn and handmade. So when we're referring to our trophies and pitchers, like we really do like them because they really are beautiful pieces that we get to keep year in and year out.
Yes. And I have to give them shout out too, because we dropped and broke one of them when we were drinking at an end of the year party, and they got one made for us and put it in the mail and sent it in, and they really shouldn't have because it was drunken debauchery that caused the end of it.
Irresponsible. There's a good one right there.
There's some missing. People have some, so but there you go.
Hey Jamie, I don't have any of them.
Just to, like, I know they're all in like somebody else's house.
That's not a surprise. Is anyone surprised by that? But you do have a ring. Can you show us the ring? Show us the ring.
I don't have that here either. I can tell you, though, they were at Hex Bar for a handful of them were at Hex Bar forever until Harold sold the bar. So we would go into Hex Bar for random nights and drink out of them all the time. They were behind the bar. So that was actually kind of cool.
Are we clear? We're going to move on to 2012. 2012, the Old Golds end up defeating the Columbus Capitals in the finals. You know what? I'm going to say this, and I'm not being sarcastic, Rudy. This is my first year, 2012. I did not realize how well you guys did at the Worlds before I got there. You guys are all over this because you pretty much disappear after I show up. I was just, no, I'm just kidding. We're friends, everybody. Rudy and I are friends, okay? So, but Rudy, on seriously, you guys had a really good, you were a major team, and I'm sorry. I'm really discovering this for the first time.
We're kind of a big deal. I mean, people know us, so it was, I mean, we got lucky. We've had some really great ball players play for the Capitals, but honestly, like a good portion of that was luck because we were so young when we started out at the World Tournament. And if I can talk about 2012,
sure, go ahead.
It's going back to what I said, we clock when we recognize when something's different about a team. This was the year we recognized something different about Walker. We had Walker in our first match and we squeaked by like 12-10. That was a match. Like my guys, I'm going to be honest with you. they were like, oh, it's Walker. We've beat them before. It's okay. And I'm like, no, guys, we can't take that attitude. And then we got into the match and I was like, see what I told you. I remember being exhausted after that first match because it just took so much out of us because we were like playing at a different level because they were playing at a different level. And so that was the year in 2012 when I was like, okay, well, great. Now we add Walker to the list. This is fantastic.
So that match with Walker is 12-10, and they're up and coming. So this has got to feel like an intensity match for something that would have happened later in the weekend, and you're hitting it right there in the first match. Jimmy, you starting to feel the tide turn for the wheels?
Well, yeah, I think the ball players were just really amping up, like how Cougar had mentioned, you know, at the beginning of this, is that they just, it's a whole nother level. The blood flows totally different. You know, we're all out there to have a good time and, you know, play baseball, you know, our friends, and having seen Columbus the year before and meeting them and meeting, you know, Rudy Sr. and then seeing them the next year, just getting a hug from them before the game. And it's incredible because, and then you played that game and we're like, holy smokes, we're not down by 10. We actually have a chance. Even though we didn't win that match, it was kind of something like, well, we made it to the reserve class last year. We're actually winning a couple of these games. This is pretty cool. And then I really don't remember how we finished that year. I remember it was something like the ball players would be more apt to play in the strengths of, you know, where they felt most comfortable at, instead of just saying, hey, how about you play left field this inning? Where that's how we usually played, you know, because we really didn't care. We just, you know, we started actually getting to the point where let's, you know, this ball player plays really good at second base, you know, and I think I moved out to the outfield. I think we had a really young athletic outfield. So it was something that we were beginning to see. Hey, you know, we can compete with some of these year in, year out contenders.
Cougar, how did the Lottie Dots fare in this year?
I don't think I was a la-di-da for this. I actually think I was part of the Detroit Baseball Club, part of the fantasy draft. That was the Detroit Baseball Club, like I mentioned, was the original host, but a shout out to Marcus Dixon, who actually, I was either his mother, I think his mother, hand-stitched 12 brand new bright yellow shields to be buttoned onto our existing Nationals uniforms and to get bright yellow socks for them. So it was cool to be able to, you know, put on a different uniform for it. I remember doing the skills competition and somehow finished third in fastest runner.
Oh, yeah.
Fast.
Before time set its... set in on my belly and on my calves, but
I remember the skills competitions. Those are fun.
yeah, they just make you slower. But no, I don't have much. I'll yield to everybody else.
It's interesting it's interesting that Cougar brought up that he wasn't playing for the Lottie Dawes, because something was like, we went into our match against the Lottie Dawes like prepared for the 2010 Lottie Dawes and the 09 Lottie, like, and then we're like, oh, this, something's different about this, and we were able to beat the Lottie Dawes in the semifinals. And whatever you guys were doing then, feel free to go back to that. I mean let everybody play. I'm all about that.
It's my fantasy draft, man. That was what happens.
Cap, how Bay City do in 2012?
Adam, didn't we get eliminated by you in the semifinal, I think, in 2012 or something like that?
It was awesome. And yeah, you did. It was, that was an awesome game.
Yeah.
Okay, so Cap doesn't want to talk about that.
That's a game we can think of. It's probably miserable for you, but it's wonderful for me.
What was the score?
So
it was 16-15. Yeah, it was an awesome game.
It's a good thing it wasn't close, so.
Oh, do you want to tell it, or should I tell it from the catcher's?
You go ahead, because I remember after the game, there were a lot of people stomping out to the parking lot. But go ahead. You tell the story.
So I catch, and Tomcat is probably their best player that year by far. Am I right?
Yeah.
We've probably played you guys a handful of times, and Tom is just – he can hit it anywhere he wants. He's got good pop from time to time, whatever else. he ends up on first or on third base. I think there's either two outs or one outs. I can't remember all the details. And sure as shit, whoever hit it, the game-winning run was coming in. Tomcat was on third base on a long fly ball. He could have crawled home. And instead of tagging up, he just ran straight home. Oh. And so I'm catching.
Bitch, I remember this now.
Oh, my God. So in slow motion. And Tom is amazing. Tom is an amazing baseball player. And I can understand 100% this was just a lapse. But I watched that ball fly off the bat, and I was getting ready to walk off the field saying, that's the game. Like, Boozhound, I think it was out there in left field, catches the ball, and I look over, and Tomcat's a foot away from me. And I was like, what? Definitely didn't tag up. And then it was just pandemonium. The ball goes flying around all over. I think we get a guy out at second base, and that was the end of the inning. And then I think we end up scoring four more runs. I don't know. It got ugly at the end. I don't remember. It was a one run. But I just remember the ball left the bat, and I walked towards the bench thinking we lost.
Yep. I remember that moment because it was like, all right, we got this. This is good. And then all of a sudden it was like, what's happening? And yep. I remember J-Mac was sitting right next to me. He was in the on-deck circle, and I think he about had an aneurysm. What are you doing? Oh, my God.
And it was just the wildest thing.
For someone who usually pays attention to details, it's like, what the?
And, like, you know, Tom, the thing is, you know Tom knows the game. He knows everything. He knows baseball.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's an amazing ball player. There's everything about him that knows. And I just feel like at that moment, I don't know what it was. It was probably just the pure joy of, like, we're winning, we're going to the ship. And then these just took off. I couldn't believe it. So I'll tell you, the 2012, that was our hardest tournament by far. That was our hardest tournament. And that, like, we needed luck to move on. And that was one of those cases that you were like, I can't believe that just happened. I'm glad it happened.
So Adam, as we wrap up 2012, and you say it was really the hardest tournament for you, it really got difficult as you put up 33 on the Capitals in the finals. What do you remember from that match?
At the time, they just weren't as good as we were. That's all.
I can't wait for my brothers to hear this.
Okay, so the first game was tough. Our second game, we squeaked by Indianapolis, and we squeaked by Bay City, and then we came in, and we were like, we were kind of playing with, like, house money. We felt like we did not deserve to be there this year at all, so just go out and do whatever else. This was also the year Dost and I always look at the layout. If we win, we stay on Diamond 1. If we win, we play on 1. So we had this crazy plan. I rearranged our lineup completely for left-handed hitters. Our left-handed hitters were the first four batters, and then we were going to start our new lineup. So we had this ridiculous plan, and it was not working whatsoever. So the whole time we were like, okay, guys, the first few lefties, go hit it over the railroad tracks and get it up there. And then the next, like, then we were going to start the lineup with Boozhound, basically, is how we were going to do this. And we had such a good plan going into this tournament, and none of it worked out whatsoever. I mean, except for the end, but that was just, like I said, we were playing with house money on that one. Like, you're playing the Capitals again, and we knew, okay, it's going to be 110 to 104. And it just, Rudy was tired. I don't know.
It was literally like a team that I had strategically put together. I think that was the year we had, I think maybe 12, maybe 13 guys show up, and we had planned it all out. And we squeaked by Walker. We got by two runs. We beat the Squires by one run. And then we kind of, you know, our la-di-da semifinal match, it was kind of like, okay, we feel good. This is a team that was put together specifically to get to the championship. We're ready for Saginaw. And then we took away the runner-up.
We had guys that were like, hey, let's dwindle our lineup down a little bit. Let's just, you know, let's only show up with 12 or 11 or whatever else. And we played all 14. So, you know, we still had Ducky. We still, I mean, who else? I got the whole roster here. Shorty was still with us. This is when we still had, Nate was still with us. Like, we had, we still played with 14 guys. Like, yeah. Ducky was still, he's our number 14 hitter. So it was just, we just felt so confident. Like, we're playing with house money now. We squeaked out of Bay City. Like, that was the game that Bay City should have beaten us. I will say that loud and proud. They should have won that game. And then we weren't going to disappoint by laying an egg in the championship, especially against
Columbus. We appreciate that.
All right, so now
Cougar, the Cougar wants to say something.
I just want to a little bit when Adam is talking about putting his four lefties up at the top of the order for Walnut One. For those of you who have not been, I used to work on the crew that set up the field, and you know, left field. So we have, it's a first base, and then about 20 feet past that is a gravel road. After the gravel road is about a 45 degree hill, then a set of railroad tracks, and then beyond the railroad tracks is like trees and marsh and a river. We measured it out to go from home plate to over the railroad tracks is 230 feet. Okay, so when you have lefties, like Walnut One is usually a challenge because lefties want to crush the ball. And if you hit it right down the line over the railroad tracks, the ground rule is it's a single. And so with Adam's strategy, it sounds like the top four lefties hit it over the railroad tracks. You load the bases and then go. Yeah.
So another thing from 2012 I want to remind or just talk about quick is that, okay, so we've been playing since 2008. 2012 is where I finally started to feel like a part of this little vintage baseball community. I know that our team had, you know, we were chippy from time to time, but we were starting to like becoming friends with some of the good players and players in general. And like even the fans that were at Greenfield Village would start to recognize you a little bit. And I feel like I'm a little bit more recognizable because I've got a beard and big dumb glasses. So like there's that little bit of that stuff. Well, this is the year that me and Ozzy became real good friends, and we used to just talk trash to each other all the time. So this was the year that me and Dost, and I believe my wife at the time, we made a sign because he's Oxbow, right, Jeff? Mike Oxbow. Yes. About Oxbow Island in Greenfield Village. So where the ball players come around the back to park, there's a sign that says Oxbow Island. So I used to talk trash to him all the time, and he just said, hey, you'll just keep seeing my son when you walk into my home field. You'll see my son. Me and Dost made a sign, and it had the big Saginaw Old Gold S's on it and said Squints Island. And so me and my wife and Dost, we came in real early for the first morning, and the Lepics were behind us. So we came in together, and then they dragged ass behind so we could speed up ahead of them. And we threw a Squints Island sign up over that Oxbow Island sign. And then we just checked in like nothing was wrong. So as we're playing these tight games, I was like, okay, it's really funny, but if we lose, I just look like an idiot. So we're in these games. Like 2012 is that year I feel like I finally felt like this was actually a fun community enough to like to really be a part of. You know, I had played with Jamie's team during the year that year. I had, you know, Jim had come and played with us at Ohio Cup a couple times. Like I felt comfortable talking to Rudy's dad and like stuff like that. So it was just for us in the Golds, I think that 2012 was that really fun, like it's a fun year now. Now I feel like I'm a vintage baseball player.
In 2010, you subbed for us in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That was so much fun. Yes. Yep.
In front of three people. Yeah.
Right? But it was so, the field was beautiful. We played on these amazing, squishy soccer fields. We're going out there. We're going to play this Brooklyn Atlantic team, and we're going to beat them. And then we lost. And then we had to play
twice. Championship
game. And we lost again. And you're like, damn it.
We beat the Red Stockings, though. That was always on my bucket list. We're like, yeah, I want to at least play the Red Stockings once.
We felt so cool. We're like, all right, we lost, and now we got to play whatever. And then we get to the championship game. We're like, oh, we're playing Brooklyn again. And they were close games, too. I think at the time they were like 5-3 and 5-2 or something.
5-3, yeah, we lost 5-3.
Okay, moving on to 2013. 2013 is going to have a a very familiar championship match. It's going to be Saginaw against Bay City. But leading up to that, we're gonna check in with everybody to see how their tournament went. We're going to start with Cougar. How did La-Di-Da's fare in 2013?
I'm trying to remember if it's 2013 or if it was 2014. For Jim, do you remember when you guys and us played on Hawthorne in the reserves? I think it was 14.
I think that was 14.
Okay, then I got no memory of 13. I'll yield the floor, but I got a story on
14. Okay, so 13, let's see. We're going to skip Saginaw Bay City as they're in the championship and get back to them. So, Crazy Leg, what do you got for Walker from 2013?
Well, it's funny because I don't remember how we ended in 2012, but I think we did do decent because we got, anybody that's been part of this knows when they get the bracket that if they have a really cushy first game, and they either felt sorry for us because of the peanuts, but we actually won a game and we weren't on Hawthorne. We actually made it to Walnut 2 to start the tournament, and it was an 11 o'clock game. So it was prime. And we played the Canal Fulton Mules, and I don't have the score. That was an Canal awesome Fulton game.
Mules. They would show up with their literature and yell at the train as it would go by. And that was always fantastic.
And I remember them stopping the game. And I'm thinking, what in the world is happening? Tell you what, Adam, while he's doing that, when we went to the Ohio Cup, Richard gave me the baggiest uniform. And of course, it was all wool. You know, they were like canvas. I don't know how you guys wore canvas for so many years in games.
We still have it.
Yeah. But I remember I didn't bring a belt. And I'm walking around holding my drawers. And Rudy Sr. says, young man, get over here. And he takes his own belt off and gives it to me. And
I remember that. Since then,
we've been buds after that. I couldn't thank him enough because here I am trying to play ball in a 4X.
That was the same time we had LaCrone played with us the first time.
Yeah, it's the first time I met him. And we
were together, right?
Yeah, we carpooled. So that was just an awesome experience.
Yeah. And then we went to the Mirage, right? Was it? No, what the hell is it called? No. Yeah. No, what was the place? The Cantina.
Cantina. And Richard was out there cutting a rug.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, where'd we leave off?
At the Cantina.
Cantina.
You missed some good stuff, buddy.
Damn Cantina. Swamp Fox, did you go through 2013 with the Capitals?
I did not, but I will. So we Saturday, our first match, we had the fine gentleman from Welkin. So that was a fun match. And then we fought back against the Indy Blues to win. I think it was like one of those, it was the typical capital game where we take the lead and then we give it back. And then we have to claw our way back to win the match. And then that landed us Bay City on Sunday. And, you know, the funny thing about 2013, my guys were so mad at me. So I spent a summer in 2006 playing as a Canal Fulton Mule. And I love those guys. And so they come to me and they say, hey, we need a player. We don't have enough. We only brought 10. He got injured. We need somebody to fill in. And I was like, who's your game against? And I'm sitting on the hill and my brothers and everybody on the Capitol is like, don't do it. Don't do it. And they're like, oh, we're playing the old goals. And I was like, sure. And my brothers were so mad at me for playing an extra game that wasn't like for us. And I ended up playing shortstop against the old goals. And of course, like that didn't go well. I squeaked by Saturday playing extra games, but then we landed Bay City on Sunday. And this was a game because Bay City jumped out to an early lead. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to get out of hand again. This is happening. But we held it together and we fought back. And I thought for a second, I was like, man, we're going to pull this out. This is going to be amazing. And we just couldn't do it. I mean, Bay City was just a place in the ball where we weren't, and it was across the board. It was like one of the best games we've played just in general at the World Tournament, and we ended up losing 7-8 to Bay City.
That was a really good defensive game. That was crazy.
Yeah.
I think we got up like 5, and then it was you guys started climbing back, and then all of a sudden it was, that everybody starts to clench up a little bit, and then it 8-7, and that last inning was just like, oh my god, they're insane, and then you could feel it on both sides. Everybody was happy and laughing and whatever, but you could still feel that it was like,
And it's so funny because like that moment that you're actually talking about that you described happened. I hit a ground ball to third base and there was a runner on second. And I was like, I'm not going to beat this throw out. I got to run through first base and head straight for second. And of course the first baseman didn't field the ball cleanly. I would have been safe anyways, but now I'm in a pickle and I'm yelling. I'm trying to direct our guy, New York Kula, to head home while I'm like, I'll stay in this rundown long enough for you to score a run. And yep. It went on for a while. We have video of it. But then after it, I'm hugging Butterfly. I'm hugging J-Mac. I'm like, thanks, guys. That was a lot of fun. I was like, this went on longer than it should have. But I really, you know, it was one of those moments. It was like, it was intense. And afterwards, we were like, whew, that was a good time.
No, that was a great game.
Before we get into the championship game, I do see here that Crazy Legs won the Finest Captain Award from 2013. Does that bring back any memory that you didn't have before that?
I think that was 14, because, well,
he was no good in 13.
Yeah, I think because I remember accepting it using a baseball bat as a cane because I blew out my hamstring on the Sunday morning game of that year, and then I think we faced Cougar and them in that reserve class, but
well. All this information is really going to make this spreadsheet very accurate after this. So that's going to be great. So championship game, Saginaw versus Bay City. Cap, do you have any memories from this championship game?
No.
Yeah. Moving on to Adam. Adam, how did that?
No, I remember we got this, though. So I remember that.
You're welcome.
That was not a close game. I believe that was the year you guys had Mike Ossie had flipped and gone to Saginaw.
Yep.
What I do remember though is at the end of the year we beat you for the state championship. At the end,
that was an awesome game.
That was a great game. The championship game was not a good game.
It was not.
You guys were doing it and playing great defense. It was tough.
That was our best. That was probably our best team ever. Our defense in that season was amazing. Outside of Ozzy having trouble throwing from third to first, other than that, we were phenomenal. Our defense was so good that year.
Your guys in the outfield were amazing.
That's when Boozhound became like Boozhound. You know, he was always been a left fielder, but that was the year I think he was making plays that you're like, holy crap, you just caught that one? And you ran that one down. He was amazing out there.
Yeah.
But that was a tough bracket. So looking at our stuff, we always joke that we're like, well, that was our best year by far. That was like our best team. We only allowed 13 runs in that tournament and leading into the championship.
And we scored 8, so.
And you scored – no, you scored 7. Was it 7? I got 7.
Oh, I got 8. Oh, that's fine.
It's 8. We're going to call it 8.
Oh, whatever. So whatever it was, we only gave up 4 going into that game. So for 3 games, we only gave up 4 runs, and we played Forest City and Walker Tavern. Like, and this was a Walker Tavern team that was still – they were on the rise. Like, they were coming around. Like, you guys weren't there yet, but they were, like, right up in there.
I remember that game because a couple of our guys played Saturday that couldn't play Sunday, and I'm like – I think we're going to get our butts handed to us. And I think Adam was generous by not telling the score, but it was.
It was 21-1 or 26-1.
I was going to lead it. So I take back that you're generous.
No.
For the, you know, for records.
Yeah, just
know, it was
that.
Important to, because of the spreadsheet, Jimmy.
Yeah. For the record, this was before I started playing. I just want to put that on the record as well.
That's when we started scouting the local playgrounds at Canton.
He said, get ready today.
We've got a tally girl that keeps track of all this stuff. I said, Heidi, give me all the goods. I need to find out Any of you guys are bullshitting. I got stats.
So we can now move on to 2014, and you guys are really going to have to help me out with 2014 because I got nothing except that the Old Golds defeated the Capitals in a semifinal. And now I'm hearing that Jim Twilliger won the Finest Captain Award. So we're going to start from the very beginning of our list and start at number one with Cougar. 2014, la-di-da's. How'd you guys fare?
So it wasn't great. I think this was the one of the times, and I don't know how many of you guys have gone through this, but the way the tournament used to be set up when we had 16 teams and three fields is that you are guaranteed three games at the World Tournament. The way the bracket lines up, though, is if you win your first and lose your second, your third game is like at 3:30 on Saturday, meaning two teams are going to be going home after Saturday. And so that was the first time that I had gone home on Saturday. I also remember this is the year that we were all crazy excited that the Brooklyn Atlantics were coming in. We'd always been hoping that teams from the East would come to Greenfield Village. And when the Atlantics agreed to do it, they came twice. Great guys. I loved playing them. Every time I've had the chance to play them, it's been a wonderful experience. And so we were all crazy excited for them to come in. I remember we won our first game. I want to say it was against the regular baseball club of Mount Clemens. Then we lost our second one. I don't remember to who. Might have been to you, Adam. It might have been to Saginaw.
No. We didn't play in 2014. No.
Okay. So we lost our second game regardless. And so we had to go to Hawthorne Glade. Now, Hawthorne has come up a few times just to kind of break it down. Walnut 1 and Walnut 2, think of like a football field. Walnut 1 is at, you know, home plate is basically like at the back corner of one end zone, and Walnut 2 is at the back corner of the other end zone. So the outfielders can talk to each other because they're basically back to back. Hawthorne, however, is about another 100 yards through some trees past a gravel path onto this field that does not get taken care of at all because we never play on it. We used to call it the Great Equalizer because you could hit a ground ball and it hits something and shoots 10 feet into the air. Now that's just the way that it goes there. So we lost our second game and knew that we had to play on Hawthorne Glade against somebody. And I looked at the brackets and I went, oh, good. We're going to get the loser of Walker Tavern and the Brooklyn Atlantics. Awesome. So we're going to get a Walker Tavern team who, as was just mentioned, is on the rise. And everybody knows, like, they are going to be a team to watch. And if they lost, they're probably angry and going to be coming through, you know, loaded for buck. Or we're going to get the Brooklyn Atlantics, who don't want to go home after one day at the tournament. So we're at Hawthorne, warming up, getting ready. And, we're waiting for a team to come through the trees to come to the field. And when we come through, it's Walker Tavern. We're like, ah, hell. Well, that was fun, boys. Hope you all had a good time. And I don't remember who it was, but I was playing center and somebody for Walker hit one to deep center. And, you know, we have trees in center. Once, if it goes into the trees in the air, I think it was a ground rule double at the time. And I had it lined up and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to make one of those like jump over the fence, pull it back in kinds of catches. This is going to be awesome. And I jumped and it tipped off my fingers and went into the trees. And then I went into the trees and just prickers and tree branches. And I was like, well, that's how this tournament is this year. Just barely out of reach, but still is going to hurt. That's what I got on 2014.
Let's go ahead and move on to Cap 2014 for Bay City.
Oh, let me see. 2014 was actually probably overall being down there was probably one of the best tournaments. I mean, the way it ended up is the same as 2013, but heading into it, the Brooklyn Atlantics had come over from the East Coast, and it was really cool that they're going to be there. And they were staying at the same hotel that we were staying at, so we were hanging. So beforehand, it's like the Capitals, the Brooklyn Atlantics. There were a whole bunch of people sitting down in the bar in what we we affectionately call the Pink Palace. Just, you know, everybody's kind of yapping it up back and forth between the people that knew each other, and the Brooklyn Atlantis guys are kind of giving like the stink eye to people because they don't know anybody yet. And they don't respect anybody at all. And so there's that. And then we went in the next day, it's like, oh, well, this is old home for us. We know all these people, so it's cool. We're laughing back and forth, playing really good games, whatever else. We get to semifinalists against the Brooklyn Atlantics. And I remember we had Butterfly was pitching, Rope was back catching, and those two decided they were going to start, you know, basically setting up signs as to what they wanted to do, where they were going to go, and where they wanted to position fielders and whatever else. And I remember one of the innings when I wasn't in, the guys from the Atlantics are like, these guys are giving signs. Check these guys out. They're like moving their guys wherever they want them to go. And they're giving signs whether they want it to be fast or slow or high or low or whatever. And it was great. We finished the game and we ended up winning that game against Brooklyn. And when we left, the guys took us aside and they said, hey, we just want to let you know, we came to this tournament with the purpose of winning, and we only brought our very best people, and we basically left the guys we didn't want to bring back home. That was a great game. We really enjoyed being here. You guys are amazing. And then we sat and we had a beer with them hiding someplace so that, no, we wouldn't get thrown out of the village. But that, that to me, that was probably like one of the coolest moments, because the year before we had gone to Gettysburg and gotten smoked by the Brooklyn Atlantics with their bouncy ball and their goofy rules and whatever else they do, which is fine. You know, I don't care, but it was nice that we went there and we got that kind of connection with them. Cause they're good dudes, actually. It's just that it's like, they're kind of like a show me sort of thing. You have to make sure you earn it from them before they're going to acknowledge the fact that you even exist. So, but the championship game was the same. So it was bad.
So the championship, was that based in Saginaw again?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so I'm going to leave. So, Adam, I'm going to leave you to the end of this, and I'm going to skip ahead to Jimmy. How'd Walker do during this?
You know what? We bested the Buckeyes the first game, and I remember that game significantly because Walnut 2, first game of the tournament, and it was just – we were playing really good defense, and we kept them – well, it wasn't great that we kept them in their first six batters for the first four innings, because they would always let the first guy get on, and then we'd throw that guy out for the third out.
Yes.
And so they were coming up with their second, third, fourth batters. I mean, I think their ninth batter got one at bat that game. I remember that. And then we, of course, faced the Brooklyn Atlantics. I think it was a close game. I don't think it was – I think it was probably about a give or take three or four runs.
I think the final on that was like 10-4. They kind of tailed away in the end on that. But okay. It was close throughout.
So I remember that. And then we, of course, we had high expectations. And then losing that, we were like, who's next? La-di-da's, and I don't remember the score, but I remember though that was we'd had the skills competition. I had won the runner thing the last 2 years, and then I blew out my quad. That was disappointing there.
Rudy, Columbus Capitals 2014.
So I'll give you how it went for me that weekend. I've known some players on the Brooklyn Atlantics since 1998. When I played in New York for that whole summer, the Gothams played the Brooklyn Atlantics like every other weekend. So like I got to know them really well. So seeing them like at this tournament that I love was just a big family reunion. And that night at the bar, that Cap reference, I did the dumbest thing I've ever done. The Brooklyn Atlantics enjoy beverages, right? And I was trying to bring two families that I love and hold dear together. I had my Midwest World Tournament family and my East Coast family at the same bar. And I said, you know what? The first round's on me, everyone. And I bought the first round at the bar. A horrible mistake. And I was when the bartender sent me, like, of course the Atlantics were like, don't do this. And I was like, no, guys, this is my treat. I, you know, you guys are here. So that's what I remember from like the main thing that stands out for me. But Then we ran into the Old Goals in the semifinals on Sunday. We had a good Saturday, saw them on Sunday. I consider it a victory, even though we didn't have the most runs at the end of the game. I consider it a victory because we only lost by 3 runs. The Old Golds. Yeah,
the Old Golds. Yeah,
it was. They had dominated. Well, I mean, we've talked about it. They've dominated the Capitals at the World Tournament. We kept it within 3 runs, and it was a close. We were like, we may still get this, guys. Let's keep it going. And it was just one of those great games, like we had with Bay City the year before. We took the L, but we felt good about it. We were like, it was a tough game. Both teams fought. They pulled away. They deserved it.
And right on cue, as I was about ready to ask Mike Feeney a question, he ducked out. So we're not going to.
Oh no, I'm back. View. I'm back.
Okay,
he's there. Go.
Hey, Mike. This is your first year as a player at the Worlds. How did you see?
I mean, it was definitely fun. You know, growing up watching the World Tournament, you know, was made it. You know, I already knew going in it was a huge event. Personally, I played awful. I thought. I mean, defensively, I did okay, but like. Offensively, it was bad. Like, I think every game I went 1-for or 0-for.
Yeah, which you were pretty bad.
Yeah,
I was. Offensively, yes. Defensively, I think I did okay. But, no, it was really cool, you know, watching this tournament for a decade before getting to play at it, to finally getting to play at it. Because it's like, you know, when you're watching something as a kid, you definitely want to do it when you grow up. And, like, with Vintage Baseball and the World Tournament, I actually had that opportunity with the Wheels. Thanks again for bringing me on, Crazy Legs, because nobody else responded to me and let me play on their team. So
that's happened to me before, too.
But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't the result I wanted, you know, going in. I wanted to win it, but I think getting bested by the Atlantics that first year definitely made it, you know, better when we finally did win it.
So that brings us up to – another Saginaw Old Golds victory in the championship. Adam, what made 2014 different than any of the other ones?
So that was the season. So we thought last year was amazing. Like our 2013, we were like, oh my God, we played so well. We only gave up 14 runs in the entire tournament. This year we only gave up 12. Like we felt amazing coming out of that. But I remember the Bay City game. That was another – this was a close one, James. This was like – 7-4. I remember there was a long flap. There was a throw out, and I've used it as a picture a handful of times of a thrown out butterfly at home. That's like my favorite Vintage Baseball memory, on the field memory. Like it worked amazing. It was like Booze Hound to Toby to me throwing out butterfly at home. Like that was a rally killer. That it was just bang, bang, bang. It was so awesome.
You but, had the rest of your Thundercat outfield by that.
So like you just talked about your team kind of taking over that new switch of guys. This was the year from 13 to 14, we did that same thing. Like we got Whiskers showed up. We had Mike show up. His dad played with us, but not in the World Tournament. We had the Red Dragon, Keith. He played with us for 2 more years. Bryce. So both Funchkin brothers played with us. Like, so that was a huge year for us. And yeah, we were calling them the Thundercats because it was some young guys coming out there and playing. And we didn't really know how we were going to do that year, but we played great. I mean, the Capitals, like Rudy said, that was a time limit game. It was 8-5. That was we only played, I think, 6 innings or 7 innings of that game. So that was not a finished ball game by any stretch. And then with you guys, Jamie, with the Bay City game, like, that's 3 runs in an inning happen all the time.
Yeah.
Like we were scoring 1 run here, no runs for 2 innings, 2 runs here, 1, you know, it was not a bang, bang. The defense on that game was awesome.
It was. There were a lot of awesome plays. I remember there was, I mean, if you've got like the scorebook in front of you, there's probably a couple different times where there's guys on base in the outs and you might have had like Heidi Wright fly to 8.
Yeah,
and that's like a totally inadequate way to describe what happened. You know, yeah. Where you got guys on second and third, and somebody launches a ball that, by all rights, should have been like over the outfielder's head and scoring 2 or 3 runs, maybe on a home run. Yep. And you got Funchen reaching up with like 1 hand and making a grab, and you're like, son of a bitch.
Yep. And they were all like that. It was crazy. And that was at the time, I think both of our teams would do this too, is like two outs and a fly ball. I feel like the teams would just walk to the bench. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, okay, it's a long fly ball. It's going to be caught. Everyone just come off the field. Like, there was never one of those, like, oh my God, he dropped it. Like, there was never that moment again. It was one of – it was that game that was like a fly ball was caught, ground balls were picked up. In order to score runs, you need a base hit hard and you need to take an extra base or you need to do something. Like, there was no whoops-a-daisy plays in 2014.
No. And that was gosh, I'm thinking to myself, that was a year where we ended up with a couple of guys who ended up getting hurt. And I think that was the year, too, where we picked up Anthony Prosatek, I think, played with us that year.
Oh, he might have.
Yep, I believe from the Grangers. I believe he ended up having to – he asked us if it was okay because the Grangers hadn't been in the tournament for years. And he had asked us early on if we had a spot. And we're like, yeah, man, that's fine, you know, because we had guys that sometimes couldn't make it or you'd have guys get hurt or whatever. And I think – I think Anthony came that year, and I remember there was one time where there was a play at second base, and
the forearm shiver.
But yeah, it was something like that. We had to steamroll somebody at second base throwdown, which was, you know, it's funny because it's Anthony, and you expect it. So,
you know, as you bring up Mr. Prosatek, and he played shortstop for us that season, which meant we moved Tanner out to left field.
We did, and, because we had guys who got hurt. Like, J-Mac was hurt, and he couldn't play.
Tanner, the best left fielder just ever seen play, that, and he doesn't play left field. I remember at Worlds that year, he was everywhere. I don't know how he covers the ground that he covers so much, but he's in on all the plays. He's just incredible. We'll never know how great he would be in left field because he's so good at shortstop. But, boy, you really saw it during that.
Well, there it was. That was our 2010 to 2014 retrospective of the World's Tournament at Greenfield Village in Dearborn, Michigan. The granddaddy of them all, so to speak, as they say. Part 3 will be coming out soon. So, thanks for listening, and take care of yourself. See you on the other side.